Let us begin. We're up to Siman Reish Ayin Gimel. Reish Ayin Gimel, the top of page 149. Siman Reish Ayin Gimel. Now, we're going to go through this quickly. I don't want to dwell too much on anything because a lot of these things are not really Nogeya Halacha L'maisa us. We don't write Sefer Torah every day. It's interesting Yediyos, so we don't have to get caught up in the details. Okay, let's just go through the basic Yesoides. Ois Yud Beis. The Gambit Tefillin Loi Hitzrich Harambam L'Taig Oisiyos Shadnes Gates. Okay, those are the letters. See the letters called Shadnes Gates? Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi. Those are the letters which have...
Scandal?
What?
Is that some sort of scandal?
No. Those are the letters which have three Tagin on the right, on the left, on the left side. A Shin has three branches. The left branch has three Tagin. The Ayin, the left branch, the Tes, the Nun, the Zayin, the Gimel, the Tzadi. These are the letters which have Tagin. The Rambam says, shocking halacha, that Tfilin do not need Tagin. Tfilin do not need Tagin, does not mention that you put Tagin in the letters of Shana's case, only in a Sefer Torah. Sharei b'perik beis kasa b'din tes, the parash rishon yot ha'i v'hainu kadesh b'kol b'chor, ein bo el ois echot shetzach gimel ziyunin. V'hu mem sisuma shel miyamim ayin sham. The Rambam says, I don't think that we do this. Miyamim, we don't put a tag on a mem. A mem is not a letter that normally gets three tagin, but these are special tagin. These are like, for whatever, al pi kabbalah, you put special tagin on certain letters. We don't do this today, but the Rambam says that the mem of the last mem, miyamim, the last mem of the word miyamim, miyamima, gets three tagin. Now, the fact that he says, v'haresham, mole mi oisyo shanis gates. What are you talking about? The parish of Tefillin is packed, jam-packed with letters that should have tagim. How come the Rambam does not make any mention of these letters? The Gam b'shorya parashos choshev oisyos acheros ayin sham. He focuses on special letters which get special tagim. How come the Rambam does not make mention of the basic tagim on all the other letters? It must then be that the Rambam holds that you do not need to have tagim on the parashos of Tefillin. The nearly miyastayti borish zeo das bal shimush rabba. Okay, this, the famous Shimush Rabba. Shimush Rabba is one of the Rishonim. By the way, people don't know this, where it's for. There are three. We had a share on this a long, long time ago. When we first started this, we had a share on the Shimush Rabba. Maybe we should repeat that share. There are three types of Tefillin. There's Tefillin of Rashi, and there's Tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam, and then there are the Tefillin of Shimush Rabba. What are the Tefillin of Shimush Rabba? Well, what is Tefillin? It's Shimush Rabba is the Tefillin really of after Rabbeinu Tam, but reversed. Reversed the other direction. When you look at someone, when you put the four parashios Kadesh, V'Hoyaki V'Yacha Shema V'Hoyim Shemoa, from right to left, is that from your right to left, or is that from right to left from the person who's looking at you? After all, Tefillin are meant to be. So this is the machlokes between Rashi and the Raiver. That's the Raiver. There are four parashios. There are four tefillin. There are four types of tefillin you can buy in the store. Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Raiver, and Shimush Rabba. The Shimush Rabba is the opposite of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Raiver is the opposite of Rashi. Rashi is, it's right to left from my perspective. I am looking forward, in my head, it's Kaddish, V'hoya ki v'yacha, Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Shema, it's Kaddish, V'hoya ki v'yacha, V'hoya im Shemaya, and then is Shema. The two V'hoyas are in the middle. But that means I'm going from right to left, from where I'm wearing the tefillin. The Raivit, and Shimush Rabba hold that right to left is not from your perspective, from the one who wears the tefillin, it's from the perspective of the one who is looking at you. So therefore, it's going to be on the left, it's going to be from left to right, Shema, Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha, Shema, V'hoya im Shema. And according, the other way would be, Kadesh, V'hoya ki yiviyacha, V'hoya im Shema, and then Shema. So therefore, these are the four different possibilities. Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, corresponding to Rashi is the Ravid, and according to corresponding to Rabbeinu Tam is the Shimush Rabba. Today it's very rare. You don't find people wearing today Ravid and Shimushi Rabban. The reason why is because it's not really ma'akev. If you put the parashios, you put the parashios from backwards, b'diyevet it's also good. So therefore, what are you really gaining by when you're wearing Rashi? You're really also wearing Ravid Tillin, and when you're wearing a Beinu Tam Tillin, you're also really. Right, in a chanan, you're really, really wearing. So therefore, there's no real reason why you should need to put on Ravid and to put on Shemush Rabba. But of course, you want to be Mahader, you can do it. Some indeed do it. They say that putting on Shemush Rabba is really, really for spooks. That's really off the charts. Because Rabbeinu Tam is already, you know, Rabbeinu Tam is ready for special people. To do the Ravid, it's also like a special type of tefillin where you're looking at it from the perspective of someone else. To do them together, you're going to do together the shita of Rabbeinu Tam in the reverse. That's already like a whole new madrega. You have to be a very, very holy person to be roy to wear and very holy to wear tefillin. Period.
The people who wear the two
tefillin together. No, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. No one wears four tefillin. Doesn't say in the Gemara Yakam Makam Yesh Barosh Laniach Dalit tefillin. So those who wear two together wear Rashi and Reinu Tam. There is such a, I think the briskers, if I'm not mistaken, I think the briskers, they like Ravid. They're into the Ravid tefillin, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the Rambam,
there's also a Rambam, there is also a Rambam tefillin. I don't think so, but there's a Ravid tefillin. But Shimush Rambam is something that's very, very rare. I asked Rabbi Cohen, remember the server came here once to give a share? I asked Rabbi Cohen if he ever sold someone a pair of Shimush Rabba. Tell me once. He told me once in his entire career he got an order.
What about a Ravid?
Ravid, I didn't ask him.
Tell me. History,
the parashas are written the same way.
What? They're written the same order. They're inserted in the tefillin in a different location. And if it was when they're written,
they're written
on one piece of parchment. So when you hear someone that he wears Shimush Rabba tefillin, watch out. You're dealing over here with a mystic. So here, the Shimush Rabba, he has a lot of chidushim on tefillin. So here he quotes the Shimush
Rabba. No,
you know, everyone writes the tefillin in the same order. Everyone writes when they write the parashos. You write first Kaddish, V'Hayakiviyacha, Shema. The only question is in the Tefillah Shel Rosh where you put the parashios, and the Tefillah Shel Yad, it's one piece of parchment where you put them, but you have to write them in the right order. You have to skip space. You have to write even according to everyone. Rashi is in order. Rashi is simple. Rashi, it's Kadesh V'Hayakiviyacha Shema V'Hayimishma. It's simple. It's very straightforward. You write it in order according to Rabbeinu Tam. You have to skip. You recite Kadesh V'haya kiyaviyacha. Skip. You got to skip to the very end of the parchment, and then you write Shema, and then you go back into the middle of the blank space and you write V'hayim Shemaya. No, yeah, it comes out. No, yeah, I told you.
It's the same piece of cloth.
I told you.
The Shalroish, they're in different order according to Rashi.
No. Even the Shal Yad also. In the Shal Yad also.
The Shal Yad is different, but the end result is the same.
No, it's not.
It's a different order. It's the opposite. The writing is the same order. The position on the cloth is in a different order. You take a piece of parchment, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The first thing you write down over here is Kaddish. No, the first thing is Kaddish. The second is V'ahiyo ki yiviyacha. Now skip. Skip space.
You skip space.
Skip a whole section of blank parchment. Jump to the very, very end of the parchment and write now Shema. Because in the Torah, Shema comes before V'ahiyo im Shemaya. When you finish writing Shema, go backwards on the parchment, and in the blank space that's in between V'hoyo ki yiviyach and Shema, you now write V'hoyo im Shemoya. So what is the result? The result is when you look at the parchment, it's Kaddish, V'hoyo ki yiviyach, V'hoyo im Shemoya. The two V'hoyos are next to each other, and then it's Shema. Is that the way it's written in the Torah? No. Did I write it in the correct order? Yes. But the way it's spaced out on the parchment is in a different order. Everyone agrees you have to write the four parashos in the order the way it's written in the Torah. The only dispute is how you space it out on the piece of parchment. Okay, now let's go further. I just mentioned that he quotes only the Shimushim, because the Shimushim Rabbah's opinion appears often in the laws of Tefillin. We don't necessarily paskin like him in every single prat, but his halachas appear. So he writes the Vinilim aside, the Baruch Shazel Das Baal Shimushim Rabbah, Shevi Laharosh, Vanigi Mugi Yosef, Besef Elchas Tefillin, Zel Shonin, Kol Alpha Beso, the As Vosa, the Tage, Have Chof Hei. That all of the letters of the Aleph Beis which have the tagim are 25. Okay, there are only 25 letters in the entire tool which have the tagim Elohein, and he goes on Udim Mezuzah Shiva Shanes Gates V'Chasvu Harosh V'Chol Rishon Zal V'Hani Zun D'Mefarish Shehacha Hainu Tag. So in other words, basically saying that's Yachid. We don't pass them like that. The only one the Rambam seems to be following the sheet of the Shimush Rabbah as well. That in the tefillin you do not have tagin for the Oisya Shatnez gates. You only have tagin for a select group of letters. They get special tagin, but the regular standard Shatnez gates does not get tagin. That's not the way we do it today. Today we do not follow this opinion. Like he brings down over here, he writes because for Harosh b'chol Rishon v'zal v'hani ziyuni the mefarshei hacha haynu tagin gedolim. It goes on to explain okay where they are, but basically we bizman hazeh we do not do special tagin on any letter in tefillin. In tefillin, all the letters are ordinary letters, and the shatnez gates are the ones that get the tagin. Okay, not like the exotic description mentioned by the Shimushi Rabbah and mentioned by the Rambam. And now the Rosh explains what the La Tagin look like. Zal ha'hani zim d'mefarshe ha'cha ha'inu tagin gedoylim avol tagin ketana ma'aloy lahaskir shanis gates. So he says that's not true. The Rambam also agrees. Whoever told you that the Rambam does not hold that you need shanis gates? The Rambam holds, of course, you need tagin and shanis gates, and those tagin are small tagin. The Rambam only went out of his way to mention the exotic tagin, which are large, which anyway we don't do bizman hazeh. So the Aruch HaShulchan does not like this answer. He says if the Rambam held that you have tagin, the Rambam should have mentioned it. And the fact the Rambam did not mention it, the simple reading of the Rambam indicates that he holds that you do not need tagin on the Shanis gates at all. Okay, bottom line is, halacha lemaisa, let's go further. Ha'amlam das roif rishonim, go yud gimel, not like the Rambam, the shanis gates gam betfilin, gam besevetera, betzichin gimel ziyunim, v'chenuagu kol ha'soifim, v'chalil l'shanis. The bottom line is, we don't pass it like this Rambam. If you hold the Rambam, does not hold the dunani, we pass like all of the Rishonim hold that you do need, by tefillin, and mezuzah, and the Sefer Torah, and that's the way it's done today, and chas v'sholem for a sofer to deviate and not include in the tefillin the tagin. The echu has ziyunim. How do you make the tagin? Yesh b'zeh deos, there are different ways, different opinions. Ach ha sofer m'noagu sheloshton l'mala b'shin b'roish regel hasmali. Okay, it's always the left. I mean, where do you put the tagin? Maybe you should put one tag on each one of the three branches of the shin. Maybe you should divide up the tag in between. You have a letter tes. So you should put one tag on the left side and two tag on the right side, whatever, how you do that. No, the way we do it today is all three tagin are on the leftmost branch of all of those letters. Ach, ha-soifim nohagel shaloshton l'malo b'shin b'roish ha-regel ha-smoli v'chein b'ayin b'tes v'tzadi v'chein kefufa v'chein b'pshuta. Whether you have a tzadi, an end tzadi, which is or a middle tzadi, a tzadi kefufa or a tzadi p'shuta. V'chein kefufa b'in p'shuta b'in b'nun kofuf v'nun pashut b'kulun tzrichus gimel ziyunin, period. V'das ha-rosh v'hatur. Soif simin reish ayin dalet the im chitza the hatagin b'shanes gates posel. Would you believe that? If you're missing the tagin, it's posel. We don't pass it like this. Kevin shenisku b'gemara ayin sham l'chein hu das rabbeinu tam av rabbeinu beis yosef cholik al zeh deloy motzinu shatagin ya'akvu b'di'evin. We do not find that if you do not have the tagin, it's posel. V'chein hu das harambam b'mezuz ayin sham l'chein kosaf reish yudvav b'shem rav haigon. I don't know who that is. The lechein lo heviu rabbeinu abeis yosef das atua klal v'rechaim sham v'nir tshkein tafsu lahalocha v'rapeiskin that it's not the akev miu zeu vadeh shetzoch v'tal sakna l'sasim katagin v'ein b'zeh psul b'tfil m'mzuzim b'nei shloki sidron. And now it's very important. Look, if you forget to make tagging, you're allowed to come back and do it afterwards. We mentioned yesterday that there's no issue of shaloi kisidron with regard to making the tagging. If you remember, Rabbi Cohen, when he was here, he told us is that some seifrim, it's not worth their time to make the tagging when they write the letters. It takes time to make the tagging. So they just write the letters and then they give it to an assistant to add all the tagging later. And that way they can utilize their time to make more money, to do the more skilled work and make more money. Oh, but it's not kisidron. You're putting the tag in a later point in time. That's okay. Doesn't matter. The aim is absurd. Those who make tag, you should know they don't even use a feather. They use a pen. These special pens. It's very, very hard. It's very, very hard to use a kulmus and dioi when you're making just teeny little marks on the letters. When you're writing a whole letter, so then you're dealing with wet ink and you have the whole letter. The dynamics of writing are you use the kulmus to make the tagging, but when you already have a finished letter and you're just coming to add a tag to the top of the letter, then many seifrim, they use special pens with special ink to make the tagging. By the way, when do we not have tagging? In a get. A get does not have tagging. It's written b'ksav ashuris by a sofer, but there are no tagging. Why is that so? I don't know. Maybe halacha l'moshe m'sinai, tagging are only in sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos. We see here a machlokes. Someone has suggested the Rambam holds that there are no tagging in tefillin, and the Aruch HaShulchan strongly rejects that approach. We do have tagging in tefillin, but certainly in a get there are no tagging. Seemingly the reason why you don't have a get tagging in a get and you don't have no tagging in tefillin, according to those who you don't have tagging in tefillin, is because the tagging are for yoifi, for beauty. And tefillin, no one sees. Tefillin are wrapped up inside and no one is seeing your tefillin. No one is seeing the parasha, so there's no need to beautify the letters according to the Rambam. Behold, the Rambam holds you do not need to have tagin. There's no purpose in beautifying the letters when no one's going to see them. In fact, there is such an opinion that there's no inyan of having a nice ksav for tefillin.
Well, also, okay, Rabbi Akiva was darshan.
So?
So on the Torah, which you would use for
halacha, so tefillin also is part of Torah. It's a mitzvah.
It's not Torah, but
it's still tefillin. There is such an opinion that says that when it comes to tefillin, you don't have to be mahar to have a beautiful ksav. As long as the ksav is kosher, it's good. And that because you're not reading it. A sefer Torah, you're opening up to read. It has to look beautiful. Mezuzah, I don't know. Mezuzah, you also don't read. Maybe you read it occasionally. Once in a while, you open it up, you look at it occasionally. But tefillin, generally, it's stitched up. You don't get to read it at all, so you do not need it for it to be beautiful. It's like Nagel HaLamaisa. What is Nagel HaLamaisa? This is a very interesting thing concept. When you go and you buy Sefer Torah, sometimes you have a ksav that's perfect. In other words, the Sefer was mahader to do every little minute detail. This corner is very. There are certain letters you have to have a corner, so the corner is distinct, and it's round here, and it's square here, and the length and symmetrical. But yet, it doesn't have a chain. When you look at the ksav, you look at it. I prefer this. You'll show someone two different samples. One sample, it just has chayin. It's a beautiful ksav. Is everything there? Are all the corners perfect? Is it round? Is the length? Is it symmetrical? Yeah, everything is good. And it's also beautiful. The other ksav is more perfect. It's more perfect. It's more detailed. There's more perfection. But yet, for whatever reason, that sefer does not have the artistic skill of producing something which is also appealing to the eye. So now we have a very, very tough question. When it comes to buy tefillin, it could very well be there's more of an inyan for you to buy the tefillin that's more perfect, that's less appealing to the eye, because anyway you're never going to read it. You're never going to read it. It goes inside, it's wrapped up, stitched up. When it comes to a sefer Torah, though, when it's going to be read, then if it's kosher, everything is perfect, and it also has a beautiful style, it also has a beautiful appearance, That is definitely something which has to be taken into consideration. So it is no yelocha lemaisa, because you definitely do have this thing when it comes. I saw my own eyes. I saw someone told me there's a certain seven Eretz Yisrael who was like an ordinary guy, and he wrote tefillin. And somehow, Rav Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when he wanted to buy a new pair of Rabbeinu Tam Tzilin, and he was B'Sof Yamav, he wanted to buy a new pair, so he told this Gabbai, I want to buy a new pair of Tzilin, get me some samples to select from. So it's a big competition. Who is Zecher to be in the samples to give Rav Yashiv 5-10 samples of partials he'll select from? So this fellow, who was then probably in his upper 20s, I don't know how he was able to get into this. His product, his parshos, were presented as one of the samples for Rebbe Yashiv. And Rebbe Yashiv liked it. And he selected it. So you know what happened to this fellow? His stocks went up. That's on his business card. Rebbe Yashiv bought my tillin. So, you're good enough from Rav Yashiv, you're certainly good enough from all of my 13 children. I have a contract now to go write 13 pairs of tefillin for my children. So he became one of the most popular seifer. So, in fact, so as I saw his ksav, I know someone who bought tefillin from him. And I said, my brother was involved in this. So I said to my brother, it's very, very nice, but I just don't see it. I just don't. It's a very nice ksav, but I've seen nicer. I've seen things which are more appealing. So my brother said to me, I agree with you. I have the same. You have to just say that Rav Yashiv was not looking for yoifi. He was very medactic in halach. He's a very big mumcha in ksav. He wanted, the corner should be very, very square. And he wanted where it's supposed to be round, it should be very round. And where this should be on an angle, it should be on an angle. Even though the result was, to the eye, to the viewer, it just doesn't have that appeal as being something which is beautiful. That was not his concern. When it came to tefillin, like exactly what we're discussing this point here, when it comes to tefillin, no one's going to read it anyway. It goes in the box, it's wrapped up, no one reads it. So then, the inyan is not that it should be beautiful, the inyan is that it should be perfect. So therefore, he liked this sofer, because this sofer, his ksav, is more perfect than his competitors, even though it may not be necessarily building aesthetics to the human eye. So that's also alumnus and why you would not need tagin, because tagin primarily is to give beauty to the oisios, and being that it's in the tefillin, no one's going to read it anyway, so it does not need. We don't paskin like that. Halacha l'maaseh, we paskin. What? Why not? If someone's willing to pay the money,
he's selling tefillin for, let's say, $1,000, suddenly he's allowed to say.
Why not? It's not oinah. The person knows what it costs. There's no oinah.
So he should give commission to Rav Eliyashiv.
He should.
Maybe he did.
I don't think so. Okay, let's now go to the next halacha. Halacha yudal. V'zesh nispar didiyaniach b'tchilu v'sayf kedei liglol ala amud ein lishol ha b'simna ha'koydim nispar di sevetar sheba'orin lo ha'yu b'irak amud echad u'v'sayf av d'loy dami l'sevetar di sheba'orin lav l'kriyat midis o'medes u'l'chein ha'yedai b'amud b'sayfai. So he's asking a question. We learn over here that you're supposed to have enough parchment at the end of the sevetar to wrap one atzei chayim. The question is that the arun in the base ha'migdash, it says b'ferish in the Gemara that there was only one eitz chayim. There was only one eitz chayim in the beginning in Bereishis, and there was no eitz chayim at the end. So therefore, l'chayra, you should not need our sefer Torah. Should not be more chamur than the sefer Torah of Moshe that was in the Aron HaKodesh in the Beis Hamikdash. And in that sefer Torah, there was no eitz chayim at the end. Therefore, it would seem that you do not need to have blank parchment at the end of the sefer Torah for the last for the end. So he says that's not a kasha. The loy dam the sefer Torah shabaron. Why the sefer Torah the baron lav lekuia tamidis aymedes. Lachin difa chayidai ba'amod b'soifai. V'ha Torah nigleles olaf. Masha einkein b'sefer Torah shalanu. Shalkom b'tamidus. V'al karchach nigleles meiroshel l'soifai. Lachin difa tzorch shne amudim. That's why you have to have two amudim. For you cannot compare because our sefer Torah are red, and therefore our sefer Torah require two atzei chayim. Therefore, you have to have blank parchment at the end and in the beginning in order to wrap around the Atzei Chaim, plus an additional two fingers of blank space before at the end of the Ksiva. The Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Aron HaKodesh was never read. It was never read. There's no need. There's no need to have a second Atzei Chaim.
So Haftarahs too. We said the
Haftarahs are read, so we have two. So we indeed, we for the minig is to have on the Vim two Atzei Chaim. That is the minig.
To roll.
The chosav atash beitz in the skalkel haklaf shal omod yochol nikach klaf chodosh eze chaticha kifi logul al haomod ulutoyfroy luroyshoy viav shemitchiloso in lasas kin lechaber ide atfil mikol mokum kishon skalkel shabedami. Okay, so he just talks about the situation if you have the klaf at the edge gets ruined, so then you can stitch a blank piece of parchment to in order to be mechazek it, in order to extend it, so you have the requisite shear for parchment. Ois tes vav kvar nispoer sheikar hayofi hu shivui ha'isyos v'hashuros. You can not paste. You have to stitch if you want to expand the parchment. It says to stitch. It has to be stitched, not glued. Gluing is not a solution. The only time gluing works is when you have a hole. If you have a hole in the middle of the parchment, so then you can glue on the back of the parchment another piece of parchment. A tear in the bottom also, they sometimes put on some patch.
Patch.
Okay, they used to, if you notice the old Sefer Torah, when they would connect, this is a new thing they do, and they stopped doing this today. When they stitch together the Urios, they would glue on top like little piece of parchment to keep being mechazik. The stitching is not too great. The stitches they use gid, and they use sinew. It doesn't really keep the parchment together very, very well. So it's folded and they stitch it. So if you notice all of the old Sefer Torah, they would glue three pieces of parchment on the back to keep the parchment in place. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Between the different Urios, mm-hmm. there are three pieces of parchment. Today, you're not going to find a new Sefer Torah that has three. They will no longer put a piece of parchment in the middle, because the glue will seep through and will ruin the ksiva. So they're not going to do that. They still put most of the time on the bottom and on the top. But I think even some of the sefer, they don't even do that. Okay. Ois tesvav. Kvar nispire. She'ekra yoifi hu ha-shiva itz yois v'ashirois v'asefer hanochoin hanovoin yesh lirois lo yetze af ois echad chutz l'shit. Okay, so the goal is that the column should be justified. Just like the piece of paper you have in front of you, it starts, every single letter begins the beginning of the row, and it perfectly ends. How in the world do they do that? They lay it out, right? They lay it out, the computer does it, or it's laid out on a plate, you lay it out. But when you're writing it by hand, it requires great skill to make sure, to calculate, that when you get to the last word on the line, the last word will be exactly aligned with the line above it and the line below it when you get to the next line. So you require is great. That creates the yoifi, the beauty of the Sefer Torah. Liros shalo yetzi af oitzecha chutz b'shita v'amnam im lo sagi b'lafachi behechoch sh'ois echad o yoisi yetzi chutz l'shita levad b'oisios Hashem yisparach ein lo hoitzi ois ach it's okay, ein lo hoitzi, period. So he says that when it comes to a regular word, if you can't do it, you can't be perfect, and it's going to go out of the line, one or two letters is okay, but you should never, ever, ever allow Hashem's name to go outside the line. Hashem's name always must be perfectly within the line. Okay. V'kach amru chazal b'menachas nizdam neloy teva bas chamesh. So you have a word that has five teva, oisyos, lo yichtoiv shtayim b'soich hadaf v'sholosh l'chutz l'daf. Don't let two letters within three outside the majority. Nizdam lo teva bas shtei oisyos lo yizurkena l'bein hadafin. Don't put it, kloimar chutz l'sirtut hagilion shel daf v'alpi sh'etarnu lichtoiv shtei oisyos chutz l'daf miteva bas chamesh avol teva shleima lo yitarnu. So here is the halacha. We have a word that has five letters. So b'diavad, if two of the five letters extend outside of the column, it's okay, because only two letters. But don't get carried away and say, since I have a word, the word S, that has only two letters, so I'm permitted to put the entire word outside the column. you're allowed to extend a word of five letters outside the column by two letters, but you're not allowed to write a complete word of two letters outside of the column. The Hashem, and we didn't mention above, Hashem's name, under no condition they go outside. The Hashem tzach lios kul b'sech hadaf. Hashem's name must be within the daf. Avol ois achas b'sech hashita v'ois achas kutsa shita mutter. Now, going back, referring to a word, the word S. So if you have a word that's two letters, one letter can be outside. One inside, one outside, that half and half is okay. The yesh, I remember gam chagavna, yesh ois gam chagavna, some say that even if one word, a word that's two letters, having half the word inside, half outside, is also forbidden. V'chenikar, v'yesh ois gam chagavna, v'chenikar, if it comes to the machmir, that a word that has two letters, you should not put half and half. Ois tezayin. The yesh ledakdek dezeh she'osur gimel chutz ledaf eino elo kishahem roiv ha'oisiyos. Chigoyim b'teva bas chomesh oisiyos. Avav b'teva bas sheish oisiyos. Mut alutav gimel b'sech ha'shita. B'gimel chutz ha'shita. Dim lo'kein lomelo la'hashas lo'ymar nizdam eloi bas chomesh l'shminan afil bas sheish. V'gam yesh ledakdek dezeh. Deho de'osur lutav b'roiv ha'teva chutz ha'shita. Eino elo kishaharoiv heim gimel oisiyos. Kuma miteva bas chamesh oisias avu ksharoiv heim rak shtei oisias kagoin miteva bas shalosh muto lichtav ois echa besech hashita v'shnaim chutz l'shita di im loikein lama loloima teva bas chamesh loima bas shalosh ulefi ze eina isa rak bakarv b'roiv teva v'gimel oisias avu roiv teva v'ein kan gimel oisias oi gimel oisias v'ein kan roiv teva muto rak teva shloima osa apishtei oisias. So therefore he goes through, I want to go through this very quickly, not get hung up with detail, but the basic issue over here is when it says over here two letters, it's lav dafka. Three letters can also be outside of the column, provided that the three letters is the minority of the word. Have a word, or at least half the word is six letters or seven letters, then you're allowed to have even three letters outside of the column. Another example, if you have a word that has only three letters, it is usur to allow the majority of the word to go outside the column, even though it's only two letters. So the basic rule is, you have to keep the majority of the word within the column. That's the basic gist of the halach. Ois yud zayin. V'zeu shakos avamenu yahabeisez v'sim gimel. The teva bas gimel yochol lichtov shtayim chus todaf avapir shamit bifnim. V'siv dal kos avamenu yahabeisez v'sim gimel. Eser osios. Aipachos ayoisa v'loi nisham yashita kidei lichtov es kulo b'sech adaf. Im yochol lichtov chatsi b'sech adaf. V'chatsi alichutz adaf koise. V'im lav menich chamokim panui. V'maschil metchil ashita akal shayin. V'kos aram nekol shayin yochol lichtov b'sech adaf yenich panui. Okay, to run to the gist very quickly. Basically, what's over here is that what happens if you have a situation where you're not going to be able to make it? I have a word, and there's too much space. So what are my options? My options are to make very, very long letters. To make the letters look very, very funny, very long ratios, long dalets, long kofs, long lamets, long kofs, or the alternative is to leave the space blank. So he says here that it's better and it's preferred to leave the space blank than to make long, funny letters. Now, of course, it goes without saying that if you're going to leave the space blank, make sure you do not have nine letters. The space that's equal to nine blank letters, because you have a space that's equal to nine blank letters, that is a parsha psucha or parsha stuma. So that's a no-no, that you may not do. But in the event where you're going to have less than nine blank letters, so he says here that it's better to write regular letters and leave the space blank than to go have funny letters. Okay, also he mentions that B'dyevet, mentions also that B'dyevet, you're allowed to even have the majority of a word that has, let's say, three letters. The whole word has three letters. B'dyevet, you're allowed to have the majority of the word outside the column. Two of the three letters can be outside the column, even though it's the majority. Next, Ois Yudches. V'zehu she'asarnu afilu b'shtei oisiyos chus l'shita k'shem teva shleima kos sarvamenu haramot v'zilushon afilu b'shtei oisiyos heim b'mitev g'delo v'nirim k'mo yiteva b'fnei atzma y'lo yichlim al gilyon al k'loshonai k'loima afilu b'yemes in teva b'fnei atzma gag ach sh'nirim k'teva b'fnei atzma k'goin tevas divorim sh'ashnayim ha'ich ha'achroinois yeshlam b'toyra teva b'fnei atzma. Very b'chidish, you have the word divorim. What are the last two words of the last two letters of the word Devarim? Yud Mem. The letters Yud Mem spell the word Yam. So it appears that you have an entire word outside of the column, even though the word this it's not so. In this instance, you have davar yam. So therefore, even though it's really technically it should not be a problem because only the minority of the word and it's only two letters, you have all the conditions. It's the minority of the word, and it's only two letters, it's not three letters, so therefore you would say at face value there's no issue whatsoever, it's permitted to do so. Yet, in this instance, since these two letters spell a complete word, it gives the appearance that a whole word is being written outside the column, and that is a categorically forbidden. That's the chiddush that is written. Who writes this? The Ramah writes this. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that we don't necessarily follow this Chumrah. They don't say this. No one says this. This is a Ramah's Chumrah. So it says over here, a very important halacha, that b'di'evet, if you write even an entire word outside of the row, and it goes into the margin, b'di'evet, the Sefer Torah is kosher. Just like b'di'evet, if you write an entire word between the rows, you're missing a word in the Sefer Torah, this can happen. And you have Hashem's name there all along, all somewhere in the middle, so you can't erase, because if you're going to erase, to put it in, you're going to end up have to erase Hashem's name. And it is categorically forbidden to erase Hashem's name, so sometimes the only solution the Sefer can do to save the Sefer Torah is to write the missing word in between the lines, or in the outside of the column. And he says, "Einachnam b'diyevet, it is kosher." This happens all the time in a ksuba. Now, a ksuba, you have to be aware, is not a Sefer Torah. The laws of writing a ksuba are much, much more lenient than writing a Sefer Torah. There's no comparison. But every so often, if you go to a wedding and they have an artist who writes the ksuba, and the artist makes a mistake because the ksuba was not approved by the Masader Kiddushin, or he did approve but he made a mistake and something is wrong. That's you buy a piece of paper. But sometimes they have a beautiful ksuba they give to an artist, and the artist is a beautiful piece of art, and now they come to the wedding and they realize there is a mistake. So what is the solution? The solution is you make a carrot, and between the lines you can fill in the missing word or the missing expression, and it's also kosher. If it's kosher by a Sefer Torah, al achas kam v'kam, it's kosher by a ksuba. Sometimes the mistake is so great you can't even fix it. So what do you do in that case? They pay $1,000 for an exquisite ksuba, and it's not nice for the photographer and the video. So what you do is, they taught us this in rabbi school. Is a rabbi who's an amateur, doesn't know anything, so they bring him a ksuba that's worth $1,000, and there's a mistake, so what does he do? Throw it in the garbage. Takes out a piece of paper, go into the office, they usually have blank ksubas just in case of these emergencies, and take out a piece of paper, and they fill in a 99 cent ksuba. You had $1,000 new. Made a mistake, goes in the garbage.
But you can erase it if it's filled in, and you can go in afterwards.
You can't really erase it. It's a mezuyif. If you erase it, it's not something you can erase. Erasing is much worse in the ksuba, because then it's already shayam mezuyif. You can't erase. You're not allowed to erase.
Crossing it out
is also problematic. It's also problematic in crossing, because once you cross something out, then there's a shayla of ziyuf. Adding is okay. Adding is always good.
But if you have a big mistake, you have the wrong name.
So sometimes if the mistake is so great, you have to know all the halachas. It's very complicated halachas. So an amateur will just do away with the ksuba and write a new ksuba on a piece of paper, or get a ksuba from the office. The skilled, seasoned rabbi will take the $1,000 ksuba, or the $2,000, the $5,000 ksuba, and he will turn it upside down, and he will write in his own handwriting very carefully a new ksuba. That way, when you go under the chuppah and they call up mechubah harav hagoyin ha'adir ha'mefursim ha'kodesh v'hanoira with kriyas ha'ksuba, and they're snapping away with the cameras and the video, so they give him the beautiful ksuba. Wow, video sees the fancy ksuba. Who notices that he turns it around and he's reading from the back? Who is even going to pay attention? Adrabah, it's even better for the video. They can see the. So who's even going to notice? And then they can hang it up in the house also, because the real ksuba is on the back. That's what you're supposed to do if you're a seasoned rabbi. Also, they told all the new rabbis is don't even think of using a Bic pen. When you come to the wedding, you make sure you come to the wedding with a nice, fancy, $100 silver cross pen, because by coming, you come to the wedding, you know, don't come with those cheap, dime a dozen Bic pens. It's not a kavadik for Rabbi Chasna. No.
Came to a wedding tzuba. They had a very fancy tzuba. Written like, he took out a piece of paper.
And he wrote from scratch. This will be worth a lot more one day.
As a father complained, he says, he spent a lot of money on this tzuba. He says, don't worry, this tzuba will be worth much more than that.
Babe Ruth, huh? Okay. What? I think I did see this once. I saw this in a Svarish Sefer Torah. A Svarish Sefer Torah, there was a mistake. It was a very old Sefer Torah, there was a mistake. And in between the line, there was writing. Okay, let's just finish up this paragraph. We'll finish the paragraph, then we'll talk about today's Chav Sivan. וכן מסתבר שבי לא יגור החוץ לשיר ולפלי בין השיר ודמות ולפלי זאב גם בשם לפי מה שנספר דמותר בין השירי בין השם's name מותר בדייבת גם כן חוץ לשיר חוץ לשיטה even השם's name as we mentioned לכתחילי be very very careful not to allow any part of השם's name it's a disgrace for השם's name to appear outside of the column but בדייבת when you have no other choice it's good. So just like it's good between the rows, it's also good b'diyevet outside the column. The motor bein hashitim, the motor b'diyevet gam kein chutz l'shita, aval l'fi ma sheyispar b'miksas Hashem kein bein hashitim gam b'diyevet pasul. V'yim nidmer l'zeh l'zeh asur. Being that the miksas Hashem bein hashitim gam b'diyevet pasul. V'yim nidmer l'zeh l'zeh asur gam b'miksas Hashem chutz l'shita. So he says it's not so simple. When it comes to Hashem's name, there are different opinions regarding this matter. Some hold that when it comes to Hashem's name, even part of Hashem's name outside of the column is possible. So that would be, you have no choice. If the Hashem's name goes outside the column, even certainly the entire thing would be possible. In other words, b'diyeved, Hashem's name can appear between the lines, but Hashem's name cannot appear even partially outside the line. Isn't that interesting? There must be some good drush on this. Hashem can be between the lines, but not outside. A regular pasuk, a regular word, b'diavad, can be even outside. Even a whole word, b'diavad, can be outside the column. But Hashem's name? Between the lines, b'diyeved is kosher, but even miksas of Hashem's name between the line, outside the column, is the Sefer Torah, would be possible. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break, and then we're going to go talk about today's very important day. Today is Chof Sivan. Today is a fast day. It's traditionally a fast day. Yeah, today is a fast day. It's a fast day today, and we'll talk about this after the break, after you break your fast and have a cup of coffee.